Good afternoon. I want to start by thanking Jake for letting me talk, and thank you to all of you for coming out and to this area wide. Now, tonight, or this afternoon, I'm going to talk about the characteristics of a youth group, or a, healthy youth group, we can say. Here in 2 weeks, I will have completed 7 years of playing school football. And in about 7 short months, I'll be officially kicked out of the youth group. Both of these teams have left an impact on my life. And I'll take the ups and downs of both groups with me into my adulthood and through my life. See, there are a lot of books, vision statements, and quotes about what makes a great team. There was a magazine that put out 10 characteristics of real team players. Of January 21st, 2017, these are the 10 characteristics. You understand the team goal, encourage their teammates, they are honest with their teammates, they keep their commitments, they deliver good and bad news when appropriate to do so, they don't assume their coach has all the answers, they set boundaries, they don't run from conflict, they value their teammates' contributions and their own, and finally, they are constantly growing. And here's just a couple quotes that I found. There is no I in team. Team stands for together, everyone achieves more. When I is replaced by we, even illness becomes wellness. Many hands make a light work. And finally, by Terry Bradshaw, bad attitudes will ruin your team. See, these are all great points, and I've took the time to group them into 3 main points. While some of us are seniors and others not, but for you seniors, we are about to leave our youth group that we have maybe been part of for all of our lives. And perhaps these 3 points will allow us to make the most of the time that we have left with these people and with our friends. And we can go out with a bang. And for those that have a few years left to go, well, these 3 points can help spark your fire in you and in your group. So the first I want to talk about is purpose. Purpose is defined as the reason for which something is done. Or another definition of purpose is have as one's intention or objective. There's a popular country song by Aaron Tipton, called You Got to Stand for Something. And the chorus reads, he'd say you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family's name. You got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. It's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and it reads that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness or deceitful plotting. So, what is the purpose of the youth group? Is it to do fun things? Take trips to Freed? Go hiking? Go to Cades Cove? Or is there a bigger purpose in why we have a youth group? Well, there is a bigger purpose. And it is to strengthen, build up each other and everyone in the group so that they can be the best example of Christ to their friends and their families that they can be. You see, we are all on this road together, which is the road that leads to God and heaven. So, the second sign of a healthy youth group is love. A strong youth group is a youth group that loves each other. There's a song in our songbooks that goes, Love, love, love. The gospel, in a word, is love. Love thy neighbor as thy brother. Love, love, love. Talking about love, I want to read a story about hedgehogs. They're very fascinating creatures if you get to study them. And the story goes, it was the coldest winter ever, and many animals died because of the cold. The hedgehogs, realizing the situation, decided to group together to keep warm. This way they covered and protected themselves, but the quills of each one wounded their closest companions. After a while, they decided to distance themselves, one from the other, and they began to die, alone and frozen. So they had to make a choice, either accept the quills of their companions or disappear from the earth. Wisely, they decided to go back to being together. They learned to live with the little wounds caused by the close relationship with their companions, in order to receive the heat that came from the others. This way, they were able to survive. The best relationship is not the one that brings together perfect people, but when each individual learns to live with the imperfections of others and can admire the other person's good qualities. See, a youth group is not made up of the same people, but of different people from you and from I. They enjoy different sports than you. A youth group is made up of the cool kids, the not so cool kids, and the everyday kids. Do you know that the youth group at Eastside here, we have several who play soccer. Yes, I know soccer. They don't touch the ball with their heads, with their hands, but hit it with their head and with their feet. And in some parts of the world, they dare call it football. And speaking of football, it's been rumored that some of those kids at Corinth and some of the adults enjoy UT football on a Saturday. See, love is knowing all these truths about you and still helping you on your journey and not letting you sink. We are teenagers and we are going to make mistakes, make some wrong choices. But I also know that by being teenagers, we are discovering who we are and what a difference we can make in this world together. I would say that many of you are glad that I'm not in your choir group at school, and definitely that I'm not your end man on your track team for a relay. But I would hope that even though I have red hair and wear shorts in the snow, that we agree that the gospel is for all. If I can't show love to you, someone who is trying to follow Christ and do his will, how can I go out and show love to someone that is lost? And why would anyone lost want to be part of a youth group that does not show them love? 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 says, love is patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, and keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always and preserves. Love never fails. And finally, the third sign of a strong youth group is unity. One of my favorite movies, Remember the Titans, has a monologue in it. And it's one of my favorite monologues because it talks about unity. And it goes, anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died on this field right here, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here, bubbling red with the blood of young boys, smoke and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, men. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen, you take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hallowed ground, we too will be destroyed just like they were. But I don't care if you don't like each other, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men. Now, earlier I mentioned some differences, some silly, but some that cut close to the heart. But you know what? Jesus Christ didn't die for the perfect. He died for all. God calls us to unite. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Paul writes, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing." Jesus died for those that made fun of him, and the ones that would say, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus healed the sick and the lame. He kept his focus on God and on his will. Jesus ate with the uncool kids. In East Tennessee, what has someone done to you that was not done to Jesus 2,000 years ago? Unity goes beyond allowing a person into our group and letting him or her tag along. Do you take the time to get to know everybody in your youth group? Not just the kids that listen to the music you like or pass the ball around with you. Do you sit next to that girl from band who didn't sleep last night because when she went to bed, her parents were fighting? Or do you smile and talk to the boy on Wednesday night that lives over there when he had a rough day because he didn't go along with the crowd at school? Did you pass on inviting the popular kid over to hang out because you thought he wouldn't come over? But in reality, he's at home by himself. Until we get involved in each other's lives, we can't truly know what's going on. The brief moments on Sunday and Wednesday are not enough. We need those trips to Cades Cove, the Friday night devos, the kickball nights. Not because we need to be entertained or to have fun, but to get involved in each other's lives and become a family. Another song in our songbook is called God's Family. And the stanzas go, "We're part of the family that's been born again, part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sigh. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family. When a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. And when he's passed through the valley, we all will relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory through his precious name. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven, God's family." So in closing, I want to share one more story. And this is by a guy named William H. McRaven. He's the 9th commander of the U.S. Special Operations Command. And he said this at the University of Texas. "The 9th week of SEAL training is hard. It is 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and one special day at the mudflats. The mudflats are an area between San Diego and Taiwan where the water runs off and creates the Taiwan Sloughs, a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It is on Wednesday of this hard week you paddle down to the mudflats and spend the next 15 hours trying to survive the freezing cold mud. The howling wind and the instant pressure from the instructors to quit. As the sun began to set that Wednesday evening, my training class, having committed some infraction of the rules, was ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man till there was nothing visible but our heads. The instructors told us that we could leave the mud if only 5 men would quit. Just 5. That's all it took. And we could get out of this oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. There was still about 8 hours till the sun came back up. 8 more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and shivering moans of the trainees were so loud it was hard to hear anything. And then one voice began to echo throughout the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm, and one voice became two. Two became three, and before long, everyone was joining. And somehow the mud seemed a little warmer, the wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. If I have learned anything in my time traveling the world, it is the power of hope. The power of one person, a Washington, a Lincoln, a King, a Mandela, and even a young girl from Pakistan named Malala can change the world by giving people hope. See, middle school and high school often has seemed like to me wet, cold, and muddy, the worst week of my life. However, because we are in this battle together, living as a Christian in a world that has forgotten who created it. Those times we have shared two together through our trips to Freed, through sorting food at Second Harvest, through bringing up the back on a hike and studying together the Bible, have made us stronger. And so when I'm having the worst days of my life, I can turn to you, and you will bring me some joy and remind me that we can get through this together. So as we finish up, I want to thank everyone for being here. I'll let you all know that each one of you have made an impact on my life, and I thank you for that. And I hope this lesson has been helpful to you and your youth group back home. Thank you again for letting me speak and your attention.